And tonight's speaker comes to us from the I Can't, We Can group here at NABA. She did some homework and brought some friends, and I'm very excited to hear Bridget.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bridget, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm here to tell you all of my deep, dark secrets. Just kidding. I'm here to share my experience, strength, and hope. My sobriety date is July 26, 2024, and today is my 689th day. I did the math there for a minute. Alright, so I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm a Georgia peach, and I moved around a lot when I was younger, and I had kind of had an abusive home life, and I didn't see my biological father after I was 6 years old, and then my mother got with my stepfather, and he was kind of abusive, so we would move around a lot, and then I had a stepbrother who was born when I was 8. So we settled down in this area of town when I was about 5th grade, and I remember my first drink was, the jars of jelly, and it also would be like they would reuse them for like drinks, and my father had a beer in the cup, and I remember drinking it and being like, ugh, this is gross, I don't want this. So that's when I was younger, but high school I started, I guess, smoking pot, hanging out with my friends, drinking a little bit more. I remember a particular incident where I had some MD-2020 in the bathroom of the high school, and it was like warm, and I drank it, and I was again, ugh, I don't like this, why am I doing this? Not a good feeling. I don't know why I continued to do it, but anyway, so I moved out as soon as I could, and graduated high school in class of 99, I moved in with a bunch of people that were older than me, so I couldn't get into the clubs and stuff, but we would go to clubs and bars and concerts and partying, and I started school at Georgia State, so I was working. In high school, I was working at a very popular chicken restaurant nearby, and I quit there, and I got a job at a university close by, so I was working there, and I started going to school at Georgia State, and I say I was on the 10-year plan because I didn't graduate till 2010, but anyway, so yeah, I was partying a lot those 5 years after graduating high school, and I had my daughter in 2006. So I was a single mom working for the first 4 years of her life, and so I would still go out and party like on the weekends when I could get a babysitter, and then I met my husband. And we started dating in 2010, which was the year that I graduated from college. And he moved in, everything moved very quickly. So my daughter was 4, the relationship moved fast. We got married in 2014. And but then it gradually started getting to the habit where we were drinking, like, every day. Like, I was working after work. And I was like, I gotta take the edge off, I need a drink. Like, and then so gradually turned into, like, I was still working, I was had finished school, so now it was like PTA mom, class mom, I was doing Girl Scouts mom, just troop mom, I was doing all the things, and outside I looked great, I was gonna brag about being a functional alcoholic, but nobody really knew, like, what was going on at home, like, except for my partner in crime, my husband, because we were drinking together every night when we get home. So there was a particular incident when we were at like a Girl Scout camp, and we were to spend the night at Camp Timber Ridge, and I kept making excuses to go out to my car, and I had a cooler out there with a bottle of Jägermeister, and I was smoking cigarettes and taking shots of Jäger, and then I would go back to the Girl Scout troop, but all the other moms were drinking wine and stuff on the picnic bench. So it was like, I'm not the only one that needed it. I was making excuses for it, but anyway. So that was like, started to be the end to the end, like, realizing, okay, I got a problem. Like, the second night at that camp, I ended up going home so I could drink and then coming back in the morning. So, and they, all the other moms were like, oh, you can go. Like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go home. I need my drink. So I went home, but anyway. There were a lot of incidences where, like, my health kept getting worse and deteriorating and getting bad. There was another incident where, like, the hot Cheeto incident, where I had GERD really bad from drinking alcohol, so, like, my esophagus was getting flared up and stuff. I even had, like, an endoscopy at one point, and then I was, like, really, for some reason, wanted these hot Cheetos. I kept eating them knowing that they were messing me up. And we had to go to, we were going to drive to the beach that morning. And I was so messed up from drinking alcohol and eating these hot Cheetos that I had to go to the ER. And they had to give me like an elixir, like a Pepto-Mylanta or whatever elixir. And then I got on the road. Hungover, went to the beach, and what did I do? I drank all weekend at the beach, and then hungover on the way home. So there's been many road trips, hungover, feeling like crap, partying the night before we were about to hit the road. So it started to come getting to the end where I was like, I can't keep doing this. Like waking up, feeling like, my sides hurting. Is that my liver? Am I dying? Like, looking up all the symptoms. Oh, what's going on here with my body? And I'm knowing that it was the alcohol, but not being able to physically stop drinking the alcohol. So, there was, in 2024, the year that I got sober in March of that year, my husband came home from the bar, and he was like, something's not right. I'm not feeling great. And I was like, well, you gotta take a poop. go in there, go figure it out. Whatever. He came back. He's like, no, something's not right. Like, I gotta go to the ER. So we went to the ER, and he ended up having a perforated ulcer from drinking. So he had to rush into surgery. And I was waiting out there, and I'm going through DTs because I've been waiting. He's in the surgery overnight, and I'm waiting in the waiting room, and he was in the ICU for a week, and then in the hospital for another week, and then they said that he had cirrhosis of the liver, and that he needed to quit drinking. Well, you know, this is my partner in crime. This is my drinking buddy. Well, he can't drink, but I'm going to keep drinking. So, you know, he guys came home, but he still had a bunch of issues with, like, walking. He had to have physical therapists come and help him, and like there was a long recovery to that, and my daughter was graduating from high school in that May, so the surgery happened in March, April, end of March. She was graduating in May and from high school, and of course I'm like, open bar! She rented this place and had an open bar for this high school graduation for all my friends and like coworkers and stuff for some reason, like, because everybody has, you gotta have a drink, you know, so that didn't go well, and so I continued to drink, and he didn't drink at first, but then he started to gradually start drinking again with me, and I was like, oh man, I gotta stop, he's gonna die, I'm gonna die, like, I'm knowing how I'm feeling, that this is not good. So then that July 4th, we had some friends over, and I remember we were drinking, and we ran out of Jäger, and I drove looking for more, but the liquor stores were closed early because it was a holiday. So then I door dashed like $100 bottle of Jägermeister to the house because I wasn't done partying, and I feel like That was my motto song, like that song. My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. That was me. But so about a week or two after that, I started, I guess the seed was planted. I started like looking up rehabs, and I drunkenly called one night and was like, I don't want to get put in the loony bin. And they were like, you can go on FMLA. Like, I was worried I was going to lose my job. I didn't know that it was covered by FMLA. And they're like, we're going to get you the plane ticket. So I'm scared. Worry I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do? Leaving. So I ended up, they got me the plane ticket. I flew to Fort Lauderdale to the rehab. 28 days, no phone. That sucks. No. But I also made some great friends in rehab, so that was good. I still talk to them to this day, and we're still pretty close. And, so when I came back, my first time coming back, I came to a meeting here at NABA, and it was 11 o'clock morning Saturday meeting, I think. And I was sitting over there, and I couldn't get through the meeting. I had to leave. I was crying. I went in the bathroom crying. I'm like, I was a mess because my whole life, like, had changed. Like, my whole life, what am I going to do? Like, I had to change everything. Like, well, but I guess they say, as they say, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I had to get used to it. So coming back from rehab was, like, really boring at first and really hard to, like, Friday nights were especially hard after working, and so I was actually, I colored. I did adult coloring, but I did a lot of coloring and rehab, or a lot of coloring when I came back, a lot of eating sugar and coffee, and lots of stuff, lots to help me, but I ended up coming to that meeting at 9:30, the I Can't We Can group, but I also started hopping around to other meetings. So I would go to the Triangle group. I went to this High Noon group at the church in North Highland, and I didn't feel like I was really connecting with anyone by hopping around to different groups. So I kind of started going to the 9:30 one more regularly, and I felt like that was my tribe and my. I really liked what the people in the meeting were, the message that they were sharing, and they really helped me out a lot. So I love the little AA, I call them AA-isms, like the things that they would say during the meetings, and I would like write them down, and like the funny ones really get me still to this day. But so then I got a sponsor. My lovely sponsor in the front row, right here. And she helped me go through the steps, and I was very nervous about writing down all the things I did that were bad, and then telling them to her, and admitting them, and making them amends. But it wasn't all the things, like the first year, I was nervous about everything, like the first birthdays, the first Christmas, the first Halloween, holidays, whatnot, like, because all those things are reasons to drink, sports events, like, everything, family get-togethers, and all the family would drink, so she always told me, like, have a exit plan, leave, just do the Irish goodbye, just leave, don't say goodbye if you are feeling uncomfortable, so I definitely had that, but also I could call her, but she was very supportive of that, and, you know, I always built it up in my brain more that it was worse than it actually ended up being. That each time, like every time, I would build my, like the first time I went to a wedding, I was nervous. I'd get anxiety, building it up over and over in my head about all the things that were going to happen. Am I going to not want to drink? Is somebody going to ask me to drink? And then it was never that bad, like that it was. So. Yeah, I actually went to a bachelorette party last weekend at the beach, and I went to a meeting down at the beach and got a visitor chip at the beach. So many things have changed and gotten different in my life. And that's not the first, like, that was another first. Was I went to Panama City. I was worried, am I going to want a pina colada? Am I going to want to drink alcohol? And I went to a meeting there and got a visitor chip and was excited about that. And it really, I made a virgin pina colada, and it really wasn't that bad. And when I was there, I didn't even really want the pina colada anyway. It was just this crazy brain wanting to overthink, which I am good for doing. But so I actually went on a trip, too, with some people from rehab. We went to Wisconsin a year after rehab. We all just randomly went to Wisconsin and went to a meeting up there together. And, you know, it was like I never would have dreamt of these things happening, that I would be going to Madison, Wisconsin with why. I don't even know why we went to Madison. But they were there, and it was still a good time. And, you know, making friends that are also sober has been great, like being able to talk to them and do things with them. And luckily, my husband's sober too. He's one day sober, more sober than me. He stopped the day before I went to rehab. But he gets to hold that over my head the one day over, but it's okay. So I'm just glad, I'm glad that I have him to go through this with together and to support each other and, you know, talk about it when things get rough. And before I was just, like, numbing out and not thinking about my, like, not wanting to feel my feelings or whatnot. And they would end up blowing up, and I would take it out on someone else, and which was close to me. Usually my daughter or my husband. And wake up in the morning full of guilt, shame, regret. What did I text? What did I post on social media? What did I say to someone? So that was, glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. I was definitely grateful to not have to wake up feeling like hungover anymore. Don't miss that. And so yeah, I don't miss the night sweats and all that. Like, I felt like I had to go to the rehab because I was scared, like my body was going to shut down or like turn on me if I didn't go. So I was glad that I made that decision. So now I feel like a lot more spiritual. I definitely pray more, and every day pray, grateful, try to walk and be grateful for nature, God, things. And I notice different like things more now that I wouldn't have noticed before. Like, I feel like there's signs. So like, when I went to the beach on this bachelorette trip, so at rehab they used to get up in the morning and go see sunrise, and you had to get up early enough to go. And so it was always like, do I want to get up? But it was always worth it to get up that early and go. And this recent trip, when I went on the bachelorette trip, I was like, I really want to get up early in the morning and go see a sunrise, because I don't get to see that at the beach very often. I live in Atlanta. So me and my daughter were walking up to go on to the beach, it had this big arch, and it said, Overlook. It said my last name, Overlook, on the arch. And you had to walk through it to get to the beach. So it was just like, this is a sign from God saying I'm doing the right, I'm making the right move. I'm got up. I want to see the sunrise. And it was just like moments like that that really, I feel so cheesy. Like, my heart is full. But yeah, because even just being able to realize that those moments now, like, maybe they're not coincidence. Is it odd or is it God, as my sponsor says? And I like to believe in God as my higher power. So I'm definitely grateful for. Bless you. definitely grateful for that, and I feel like AA has helped my self-esteem, because here I am standing in front of a room full of people that I would have been terrified, still terrified, but I know God's got me. So, and again, definitely Stressed myself out about it more than it probably actually is, but yeah, so I'm just trying to think about how my life has really been different with all the things that I've learned by doing the steps. My sponsor and giving it over to God. I feel like you just coming to the meetings, I'm helping someone else, including myself. And as they say, just put your butt in the chair and be present. So I definitely have been trying to walk more and be present in nature, except it's super hot right now, so I'm not trying to walk outside. But also read the big book a lot when I first got sober, but I, especially the stories in the back of the book were definitely helpful. And creating a community that I have together with everyone here and friends that, you know, I never would have thought I had, were going to make. So, yeah, it's definitely been a long road of change, and it was really hard at first to do those things. But, it happened for a reason, and it keeps getting better every day, so I'm very grateful for that, and I'm grateful to be here and see those sunrises and not be taking out my emotions on my family, the closest people to me, and, you know, sometimes it's hard because, you know, family members might still drink and they don't necessarily know what you're going through, so it's good to have someone else who does understand. So I'm trying to think how else has changed my life. I wrote some notes, but yeah, so definitely looking forward to other things in my life that we read something in the meeting on Saturday about the canyon and reaching out of the canyon, and I'm excited to be going on a trip soon to see some canyons, so I'm like, I'll be able to, and I'm looking, doing research on the canyons and how the sun, you can see them at the bottom of the sun coming through, the rays of the sun coming through at the bottom of the canyon, and I feel like I was at the bottom of the canyon before I got sober. Like, life was pretty bad drinking every day and having to go through that vicious cycle of hell. Now it's easier now. Definitely recognize my triggers when they are beforehand and can use my tools, my toolbox. But I did read a lot of like Quitlet at the beginning, but I'm not very good at reading fully a book. But I did bring one of my favorite parts of a book that I wanted to read really quickly. It's called Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. Ethanol, commonly called alcohol, produced by the fermentation of sugars. Volatile, flammable, antiseptic, a solvent in medical wipes and antibacterial formulas because it kills organisms by denaturing their proteins. Industrial agent. Ethanol is a good general-purpose solvent and is found in paints, tinctures, markers, personal care products such as perfumes and deodorants. The largest single use of ethanol is in engine fuel. And fuel additive. In other words, we drink for fun, the same thing we used to make rocket fuel. House paint, antiseptics, solvents, perfumes, and deodorants. To denature, or i.e. take away the natural properties of, or kill, living organisms. Which might make sense to some, on some level, if we weren't a generation of green-minded, organic, health-conscious, truth-seeking individuals, but we are. We read labels, we shun gluten, dairy, processed foods, and refined sugars. We buy organic. We use natural sunscreens and beauty products. We worry about fluoride in our water, smog in our air, hydrogenated oils in our food, and we debate whether plastic bottles are safe to drink from. We replace toxic cleaning products with Miss Meyer's and homemade vinegar concoctions. We do yoga. We run. We soul cycle and Fitbit. We go paleo and keto, and we juice and we cleanse and we do coffee enemas and steam our yonis and drink clay and charcoal and shoot up vitamins and sit in the infrared foil boxes and hire neuropaths and shamans and functional doctors. And we take neurotropics and we're vigilant about everything we put in our body, everything we do to our body. And we'll drop $40 on exercise class. There are healing crystals in the floor. Global wellness economy is estimated worth $4 trillion. $4 trillion. We are on an endless and expensive quest for wellness and vitality and youth. And we are drinking fucking freaking rocket fuel. So, yeah. And if you ever drank Jägermeister, it tasted like it too. I adapted for my spouse. I was more of a whiskey drinker, but anyway. The amount of money that I was spending on alcohol and the bottles, like the recycling, we would have to lug these heavy. I live on the third floor, and we would bring all the bottles up. It was fine. It was taking them to the recycling, and they're all heavy, and we're dragging them down. And they're banging all together and stuff. It was pretty bad. Like going to the recycling center and throwing them in, we actually like ran into someone we knew. We're like, oh, we're recycling them for the bar. No. Yeah, the amount of money that I'm so grateful that I can spend the money on going to the spa, getting my nails done, going on a trip, anything, clothes, whatever I need, want or need that is not just drinking it down and ruining my body. And, yeah, so it's definitely not worth it. I'm grateful that I was able to stop and make that choice, and that my also husband is too. And, yeah. A lot has changed in the amount of time. Less than 2 years now. A lot. My whole life has basically changed. Like, and so much for the better too. I can't thank AA and NABA and my sponsor enough, and everyone who's helped me grow every day more and more. I think that might be all. One thing, my relationships have gotten a lot better too. So my daughter has expressed to me that she is proud of me for stopping drinking, and that she, I'm able to have more of a relationship with her, and be there, present for her, and not just that was one of my amends, the guilt I was holding of drinking when she was young and in school. And I'm grateful that I'm able to forgive myself and other people can forgive me too, and that's all I can do. And I can't change the past, so I gotta keep moving on from that and keep doing my best today. And drinking is not gonna help me doing my best, so I'm grateful. I'm thankful I don't have to do that anymore. Sorry if I end early in my out. You could do the 90-90. I was thinking about in rehab they did a cold plunge. If anyone's new to sobriety, we used to do this cold plunge in rehab, but you can also do it if you like. When you take the shower, put it on the coldest water that you can stand, and it's supposed to raise your dopamine. So basically, since you're depleted of dopamine, it's supposed to help. I did that at the beginning of recovery too. As they say that it takes 66 days to break a habit. So, you know, that first 60 to 90 days was really the toughest. My sponsor said it takes up to a year, which she was right. I'm almost 2 years. I'm still, but growing and learning everything every day. Something's changing. I'm glad that I'm open to that. I don't have to drink my poison anymore. Woohoo to that. Keep it simple. I also have the app on my phone, the AA Big Book app, all that, like the meeting app, like finding out, so, and TikTok, actually, sober TikTok helped me a lot. I watch a lot of sober talk. So, and there's some really good, like, short speakers that can, because I don't know if I have ADHD or whatnot. I have a short attention span. So, yeah, there have been really helpful, but I've recently started listening to, like, podcasts, too, and I'm bad about reading. I obviously did not get far in this book. I'm better at listening, I guess, than reading. all those, you know, it had to be, the time that it happened was meant to be. So, I'm happy that it did, and I'm not continuing to do that with my life. And also, so helping me with my self-esteem and speaking out and is also helping with my career, be more confident in that as well. So AA has so many benefits. I'm very grateful for them. I guess I'm done. I don't know. I'm done early. I'm trying. My sponsor told me to go over the 12 steps. But I think, so yeah, I did them with her. I don't know if you know, downstairs they have like an area where I went down there and I put all my bins on my phone and all my, we went down there and it's like decorated like a bar down there. They're like, what is this, like a VIP club downstairs? It looks like a bar, but anyway. It was interesting, and I was just like, and then she just shared with me, and it was like so much weight lifted once you were able to like get rid of all that stuff that you're holding on to that you are beating yourself up about too. So, all right, thank you, everyone.
I slip and then I quit to a hope-filled dream. You rescue me and finally wake in there I see. I look into Thank you.